San Francisco Bay Area. It's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey, and I have with me tonight one of my favorite authors. You know, her name is Jewel Sinclair, and she's the author of the 44 series. So we are going to be talking to her live here tonight. Be sure you listen in. Be sure you find out how you can pick up your copy of the series, your first copy, right, if you're not already an avid fan. I'm going to tell you something. The first book that I read, I couldn't keep down. I actually finished that book that night, and then I had to get the second book. And it's, you know, has progressed, and it's just a great, great series. So be sure to listen in and find out how you can start to be a 44 series fan with our author, Jewels Sinclair. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Her actual series, this book, has been downloaded by more than 500,000 readers, 500,000 readers. Like her main character, whose name is Abby Craig, Sinclair lives in Bend, Oregon, where she is currently working on the installment of the next series. Jewels was born and raised in Los Angeles, so she's a California girl, received her undergraduate degree from UCLA, and went back to school years later for her master's. A full-time mother, a car detailer, a fourth and fifth grade teacher, and an instructor at the local community college, which, by the way, she teaches writing. She has always been a writer, mostly of columns that have appeared in various newspapers over the years. Her work has been in the Los Angeles Times, in the Daily News, Seattle Times. She used to regularly attend the Taos Writers Conference, taking a short story to workshop. It was there that one of her stories was nominated for inclusion of the Best New American Writers Anthology. For the last 2 years, she's been writing full-time as an independent author and publisher. So, without further ado, let's welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey, Jewel Sinclair. Jewels, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much, Joey. It's so wonderful to be here. It's great.
It's great. And, yeah, it's great.
And
to have
so
you.
Many kind words. I appreciate that, too. And I love hearing that. Well, we've talked before, but I love that you're a fan of the series. That means a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, like I said, the first time I got the book, which was kind of odd how that happened, but however it happened, I can't remember. But I just remember that I saw it, and I think it was on Amazon or something like that. I can't remember. But I thought, you know, I need to get this book. And so I got it, I downloaded it, and I started reading it. And usually I'm bored rather quickly. You know, I'm like one of these readers that you have to catch me, like, within the first 3 minutes, because if you don't, I'm just over you. And then I will put it on the back burner, and I'll put it on the shelf. And so, and now that everything's virtual, right, I'm putting it on my virtual bookshelf. But, you know, that
those lists get big.
but that didn't happen. And I finished the first book in one night. I just kept reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. And then I had to get the next one. So let's just talk a little bit about it. And let's talk about yourself and, you know, where you're born and raised. I know you're from L.A.
Right.
So I guess you were raised in Southern California. Is that right?
Yes, I was. San Fernando Valley, Sherman Oaks, California.
Wow.
And I was born and raised there, but then it wasn't too long after I was married and had kids that we came up to Oregon. So I've been here for a while. And it's taken me a while, too, to call it my home. But I do call Bend my home. I absolutely love it here and identify with it as well. And that's where the whole series is based in. So that hopefully that, you know, my passion for the city comes through in it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I like, I think back in my late teens, no, it was early 20s that I first started to go to Oregon, and I really liked it a lot. Southern Oregon?
Yes.
So around, Klamath Falls? No. Cave Junction. It borders, it borders the California.
Yeah, the border. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the border, yeah. But anyway, I just really fell in love with it and really liked it. And I know some people from Southern California call us here in Northern California, NoCal. And I had some friends that were from Southern California, and I said, how do you like being in Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area? And they said, it's wonderful. We always write our family down in Southern California that we love being in Oregon. And I'm like,
wait a minute.
I'm like, we're not in Oregon. They said, I know, but we're not in California either. And we're closer to Oregon than we are California. And so I'm like, okay, whatever works for you, that's nice. But Oregon
is nice.
Yeah, Oregon's beautiful. So anyway.
It really is. It's a beautiful place.
It is. I'm wondering, does anybody else in your family, like your immediate family, do they have writing skills, writing gifts?
Yeah, they really do. My kids are these amazing writers, and so is my husband. And even going back, my mom and my dad were writers. So I don't know if it's family gene or if it's just something that we really love reading and writing, and maybe it just comes from that passion. I'm not sure. But, yeah,
that,
definitely.
That's awesome.
We're a writing family.
Yeah, I was going to say it's all in the family, no pun intended, but, you know, that's great. I mean,
that's
awesome. So let me ask you, what motivated you really to pursue your gift as a writer?
Well, that's a good question. You know, as far as, like, being a writer, I identified with it early on. I remember, like, when I was in school, I was, I think, like, six or seven, and I wrote a story. And the teacher really loved it, and she read it, you know, to the class. And I remember being so excited about that. So that, you know, that was a long time ago. And then I went ahead, and it's just like something that I've always done. I've always written stories, and it just seems kind of like a natural thing. So it's kind of like, I don't know if like it's a motivation, but it just kind of is who I am. Does that make sense? And,
yep.
You know, with all this, with all the publishing that's been taking place, the indie publishing, it's really given me a great opportunity to go ahead and get my stories out into the universe. So that's
wonderful.
Been great, too.
Wonderful,
yeah.
Wonderful. So let's talk about the 44 series and how that was born.
Okay.
And then I want to know about the main character, Abby Craig, and how she was born.
Oh, those are good questions, too. And I like, too, Joey, how you say, how is it born? Because that is kind of what it is. You know, any act of creation is like that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this is the story of it. I was just in the shower one morning, and I was actually working on a whole completely different story with a whole different character who was just kind of this upbeat character. And I was writing it every day, but I was in the shower, and I very clearly in my head heard a voice who was not the character I was writing, and it was the first line of 44, and it was, I know I'm lucky. I just heard it instantly, and not only did I hear it, but I could feel the character, and I could feel that something had happened to her. You know, when you start something out like, I know I'm lucky, you know, you're like, well, why are you saying that? You know, like, what's happened for you to have to kind of tell yourself that? So I kind of went on that. You know, I got out of the shower, obviously, and I wrote it down. I was like, you know, she's very serious. She's young. You know, she's like 17. She's in high school. I can feel her pain, basically.
Wow.
And I don't really know where it came from other than that. And then I just sat down, and it really, that first book did not take me that long to write. It pretty much build out, and, you know, Abby Craig was born, and then, of course, the books after, because now I'm book 9 will be published this month, So, you know, I've been writing this for a couple years. The books after have been a lot more work.
It
was kind of like my little gift, you know, it's like, here, you can go ahead and have this, Jules, but you're going to really have to work for the rest of them. So
that's
how it's been born.
That's
but
awesome.
It's, you know, that kind of thing is like just a gift and very magical. And it's like the best time to be a writer is when you're in that kind of place where you're not really sure where that's coming from. And it's magical. And I still, to me, that first book will always, you know, be the closest to my heart because it was just kind of given to me in a way. You
right.
know, I showed
right.
up every day. You have to
right.
show up. You have to do the work
right.
and you have to sit there for 8 hours a day and get that story. But it really was quite the thing.
Wow. Well,
so that's
how
Abby was born, at least in, you know, to me.
Well, that's amazing. So, now, you know, I'm not going to go into depth about the series because really I think that people that are lovers of suspense and thrillers
right.
and the Pacific
yes.
Northwest should go out and get this online either at Amazon or Kindle or any other outlets and purchase the series. You know, okay, because I really feel strongly about that. I don't want to give, but I want you to think about this. What, that being said, how would you highlight or give an overview of the 44 series?
Well, that's a great question, too. I would say that it's the whole series, and each book is a continuation of this theme, and that is basically it's a story about a young woman. And she's on a hero's journey. She's on her journey. She's had a terrible accident. That's in the first book. And she's coming back from that accident, putting pieces together of what's happened and where she is and trying to figure things out. And then pretty much dealing with the changes in her life. And the changes in her life will continue for the rest of her life, where she's, like, adjusting to these I guess you could call them gifts that she now has and and things she's been, and the accident has both given her things and taken things away. So, she's dealing with that.
So we're going to leave it like that because we don't want to tell any more of it.
Oh yeah.
Because
yes.
yeah, because it's such an exciting series. So folks, you really need to get a copy. Start with book
and the first
one
one's
and
for
then
free.
Just, yeah. And then just move
yeah.
forward. And then, wait a minute. The first one's for free.
Yeah, the first one's free. That's been our marketing strategy since the beginning. Where,
wow, how great is that?
Yeah, where, you know, that first book, it's free, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you'll continue on, like you're saying. That would be great.
yeah, absolutely. So now that we know a little bit about that, here's something that I want to know about. This wasn't originally in my questions that I had written down tonight, but have you ever, so these places in the book, in the series, are they actual places up there in Oregon? Are they real? Are they real
yes.
locations?
Okay. Yes, that's a good question too.
They are the real locations.
They are real locations. What I like to do is highlight a lot of the things around Bend, the city of Bend.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the place where Ty works, and that's a character in the series, is Ten Barrel, and that's a pub here and a brewery. And I use that one. Abby Craig works at a place called Backstreet Cafe, and I've changed the name a little bit on that one just because I have a lot of scenes in there. So, I wanted to kind of make it a little bit my own, but that's based on something that's a cafe here, a coffee shop that has a similar name. But everything else, like Pilot Butte or the mountain scenes or the Deschutes River, everything is based in Bend. And I get emails from people who have been to Bend, and they're like, oh, it's just like, you know, me coming back, and I just love the series because I know all the places that you're talking about. So for me, you know, having the setting here in this city, and it's just a very special city. It's, you know, you've got the mountains on one side, the desert on the other side. You have seasons, which from anyone from Los Angeles, it's always, like, amazing. Even, you know, all these years later, it's like, wow. You know, it's,
uh-huh.
for example, it snowed today. You know, it's always quite amazing. So I love writing about the seasons, and I love writing about the weather, and I love writing about, you know, Pilot Butte Drive-In, the different hangouts that people go to here, and the different popular places.
That's great.
You know, and river rafting, and it's really quite a special place. And I consider Bend actually kind of like one of the characters here.
Mm.
You know, it's like we've got Abby, Jesse, and Ben.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you definitely highlight that well. Now, I'm wondering, is there ever a time, you know, I like to say there's you know, there are writers that you either write by inspiration. Well, I think you can write by both ways, but you either write by inspiration or you write by perspiration. And I tend to be the person that writes by inspiration. And sometimes I like to go back to where a scene is to feel that. Even when I'm writing music, if it's set somewhere, I like to do that. Now, I'm wondering, have you ever done that? Like in a few scenes where there may be a river scene or there may be this or that, have you actually walked over there or gone to that place and felt anything?
Yes, I definitely I do that a lot. You know, living here is I'm very outdoorsy. You know, I am actually out there on the trails and doing snowshoes, you know, up at the mountains and stuff. So everywhere that I've written about, I've experienced. And I know what you're saying too, as far as like going back to the place. And I'll do that, but most of the time I'm out there anyway. So and that kind of informs me. Like I'll, you know, if I'm out like on the river trail, for example, and I come across like this one little section that kind of what you're talking about, you kind of get that feeling from, and you're like, oh, this would be really great. You know, I'll either go back and take some notes when I get back home, like, you know, maybe in the next book this will be perfect, or, you know, something along those lines. But it is that kind of a place where it's like pretty much – every time I'm out, I was out at the Badlands probably a couple weeks ago, and every time I'm out, I'm always thinking in terms of what scene would this be good for?
Right,
you know?
right.
You know, is there any creepiness here? And usually that's how I view the world. There is. So.
Yeah. Well, now talking about that, future scenes, et cetera, future books, future journeys for Abby Craig. Do you think there will be room in the series for any adventure coming out to the San Francisco Bay Area or any other part of Northern California or the Central Coast around Big Sur?
Yeah, those are beautiful places, aren't they?
Yeah, do you anticipate any
stunning.
Of that?
Well, I love that question too, Joey, because Abby Craig, as you know, is a chef in training. And you guys, we talked about this a little before, you guys are such a big foodie place. So I do envision her going down to that San Francisco Napa Valley area and, you know, maybe an internship or something. But she'll end up back in Bend. But definitely there could be stories there. I had in book 8, for example, most of the story took place in Eugene. You know, and book 3, most of the story was up in the Puget Sound area. So she does travel. Abby Craig does
awesome.
Get around.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what as a writer, really, what motivates you? You know, to be a writer, whether it's a writer of books, a writer of poetry, a writer of songs, a writer of word, whatever it may be, it takes motivation. What motivates you?
I think what motivates me is definitely when I'm reading. Words motivate me. When I'm reading something that just is so beautifully written, you know, it touches me deeply. So that's one thing. The other thing that really motivates me is passion. And that's like, anybody who has a lot of passion for something and a lot of dedication and a lot of focus, it literally blows me away. And that could be like pretty much across the board. It could be like a great movie, you know, that a director or an actor is in, or it could be a book, a great book, or even a great meal, you know, something that you've sat down and you're in the presence of greatness and an artistic, you know, endeavor that's really worked well. That always, to me, I'm all, that always, and the other side too is like even people who play sports, like Messi, for example, on the soccer field,
right.
You know, where he just doesn't stop. And I'm just like, wow, the passion and the commitment to a goal always just like, when I see something like that, it does motivate me. I think, God, I just want to do better and up the game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So now that being said, there's people out there that are, you know, they're pursuing writing. So, and I know you teach writing as well. So as an author,
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I did teach writing. I haven't done that. I'm writing full-time right now. So I haven't taught writing in a few years over at the college. But anyway, yes. What was your question?
So what skill sets, you know, in other words, just give me some ideas, words that people should, a skill type of set that somebody should have if they want to pursue the gift of writing.
Well, I think that if it calls to you, you probably already are reading, and you probably already are writing. And so if you're doing those two things, I would just say to keep doing those things. You know, if you really want to be a writer, and then that opens up a whole can of worms too. Like, first of all, what kind of writer do you want to be? You know, in terms of are you wanting to, like, be the next best-selling author? Or are you just wanting to write, you know, so your family and friends could read your stuff, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just writing for you? Maybe you don't even want to share anything. You're a journal writer. There's all sorts of, you know, levels of it. So you have to kind of figure out where you are on that, you know, that line, like what you want from it. But and then you just have to do it, you know.
Right.
You have to write. It's like people are always amazed, but, you know, the 44 books take a lot of time. I mean,
I could imagine.
Writing, there's a big difference between someone who writes, you know, for part-time or whatever, and someone who is, like, producing stuff and kind of, I'm going to say professionally writing, and I only say that because, you know, it's my career right now, and it's my living. But it's not, you have to write through the periods where you feel like you really aren't doing a great job, and you have to write through when you're not inspired, and you have to write through when you don't want to go sit down and be in your mind for all these hours. You know, it's not quite as glamorous as it seems, although the finished product is always exciting. It's always it's always like the best feeling. But if it's something that really calls to you, you just have to keep reading, and you have to keep writing. You have to do it. Writers write.
Right, and you know, you said something that's really important, and let me say this. You know, a lot of times people have gifts. Now, when I used to evaluate songs, and you know, and I did this for a long time, I had, even though I'm in California, but I had a group in Tennessee and Nashville, that, and outside of Nashville, that would come to me, and they'd have tunes, and they wanted evaluations of their songs. And you know, I think that sometimes you have to be honest with yourself. You have to sit there and go, okay, now, this is a gift, and like what you said, am I writing this to really share with just my good friends? Am I writing this to share with friends and family? Am I really writing this to share with the world? And I think that you have to be honest with yourself, because sometimes we have gifts, but they're not necessarily to share with the whole world. They may only be to share with your friends and family. And you know, there were times that I'd have things coming back to me going, how could you say this that I have to work on? My song was born out of, you know, and, you know, again, you know, you write and you rewrite and you rewrite again.
Yes.
And that's just the name of the game. And that's really what makes somebody really professional in their craft and what they do. So, Let me. You touched on something about independent publishing. Let's talk about that a little bit and what it is and where it's going.
Sure. Well, that's what I am doing. I'm an indie author, which means I am not published, you know, by a big publishing company. I do everything myself, and this is an industry that has really opened up in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that gives pretty much anybody the opportunity to go ahead and write their book. You know, you have to learn the technology, but then you can go ahead and put it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Apple, your ebook, and it goes out into the universe. And it's so very exciting. It's been a thrill. It's really amazing. So
right,
it's just changed. The whole publishing industry has really been changed because of this, because there's a lot of people doing it now, and a lot of traditionally published authors are now doing indie publishing too.
Mm-hmm.
For various different reasons, but it's given pretty much anybody an opportunity to go ahead and do that. So if it's something that really calls to you, you can go ahead and do it. It doesn't mean you're going to sell a million books or 100,000 books for that matter. You know, whether you're a writer that's published traditionally or you do it yourself in indie, it's still a long shot to be a bestseller. I mean, your chances are like one in a million, but you can get your work out there, and you do have this amazing opportunity to find readers of your work, which is amazing. It's really quite the event. It really is.
Right.
It's like, I used to go to the writing conferences. This was probably like about 10 years ago. And I was thrilled because, you know, 12 people would sit. The conferences are really like these intense things, Joey, where 12 people sit around and everybody gets a copy of everybody else's story. And then you write, you know, you write your comments on it. Everybody goes back to their motel for a week. Everyone goes back to their room and they read everybody's writing and write their comments and then come back. And, you know, you have that opportunity where you have 12 people giving you feedback. And sometimes it's brutal, you know.
You're right.
Sometimes it's, most of the time it's fine, but there's always one or two people that are just like, I hated this. I have no idea what she's trying to say. But, but okay, that's 12 people, you know, which was fine, you know. And I throw in a few family members, and probably I had maybe about 20 people reading my stuff. And this, on the other hand, here we go, you know, for 44, has been downloaded 500,000 people. So
that's
like
awesome.
All over the world. I mean, it's like I get emails from Ireland. I get emails from the Philippines. I mean, it's all over. It's phenomenal, and it's like such an exciting time. It really is to be a writer. So if this is like something that's called to you and you want to do it, it's quite the event.
Right, right. And I think that's awesome. And like I said, I think it's so important to know your craft and if it's calling you, but just really know your segment too, because if you don't know what your segment is, you're going to be really disappointed if you don't really get, like what you said, you know, here's an opportunity to get your work out there, but know this, that, you know, few and far between make it to be a best-selling author, but that shouldn't stop you in getting your work out there and telling your story, because that's
exactly,
you know, that's really, and you know, if it keeps haunting you, like, you know, I mean, I haven't told any of the listeners here, you're kind of the first to know, but I'm not going to go into it because this is about Jules Sinclair, not about Joey, but I told you and I shared with you that a book that I've been sitting on for a long time, and you know, it was born a long, long time ago when I first started going on trips to the Hawaiian Islands. And so we're talking years and years, and I'm finally decided, you know what, I need to get this out there, because it was something that was haunting me and forever haunting me. And I thought, you know what, it has to go out there. And so I think that's really, it has to be out there. And just like you heard that voice, you know what would also be interesting is, it'd be kind of creepy too, but, you know, is, wouldn't it be interesting if you ever decided to go online and see if there was anything, and folks, I'm not going to tell you what the story is about, so you're going to have to go get that book. But wouldn't it be interesting if there was something that was similar to that occurred in real life.
Right.
That you were unaware of.
Right.
That you were unaware of that might have happened, and you were open.
Who knows?
Because,
yeah, I know what you're saying, because there's like all that energy that surrounds you that you can just pick things up that you don't even realize that you're picking up.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And you just kind of hone your ears to it, and you listen, and I know what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. And I that is, you know, there are all types of writers, and everyone's got their opinion on indie publishing these days. My belief is that everybody's got to, they did some surveys, like 1 in 10 people feel compelled to write a novel. They have a book in them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, to me, that's like an amazing thing. It is and it's not amazing because, of course, you know, we're a society of storytellers. I mean, whether it's on television or in the movies or in books, we love stories. It's, you know, it goes back to mythology. But, you know, why shouldn't everybody have an opportunity to put their story out there and to reach people and to share? It doesn't mean you're going to be a bestseller. It doesn't mean you're going to, you know, have the movie made or, you know, make $1 million. It just means that you have this opportunity to send your story into the universe and find people who are enjoying it and finding readers. And that's like an amazing thing. It really is.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It's what we have today. You know, we have the technology for it. So why shouldn't everybody, you know, we live in a democracy. Why shouldn't everybody, excuse me, have that chance? It's something.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you, do you have a favorite author outside of, you know, well, I'm hoping that you're your favorite author too, but I'm just saying, do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite?
Jules Sinclair is Jules Sinclair's favorite author. No,
well,
I'm joking.
Why not?
I those books are just so good. I have a lot of favorite authors, and you know, it's funny because I go through different periods. You know, maybe 10 years ago when I was going to those writers' conferences, I was very much into the short story and literary short stories and, you know, like Joan Didion and Alice Munro and Mavis Gallant. I love those, and they spoke to me at the time. And then I go through periods where I really love pop fiction, which is where I am kind of right now, where I love, you know, detective stories and Michael Connelly. And right now, too, I'm finding myself reading a lot of autobiographies. Because, and it's partly research, because I'm really into cooking and food, and Abby Craig is, you know, learning how to be a chef. So I just finished, Marcus Samuelson's book, Yes, Chef, which was amazing and outstanding. Highly recommend it. So, but that's nonfiction. So it just depends. You know, I kind of go through, and of course I love all the classics, you know, Hemingway and Faulkner and those guys too. But I do kind of go through periods where I get really, really into something, and then I kind of, you know, I go the other direction. It's like, oh, I really could use a good mystery right now, you know?
Right.
There's so many good books out there, you know?
That's good because that makes you rounded in your reading, which is really important, especially when you're a storyteller, and that's what you are. You know, you're actually telling a story. So what let's see. You know, being that I would classify this kind of maybe a thriller type of a book, and definitely
it's hard to classify, isn't it?
When we
sit down and we do the categories, we're always like, well, it's kind of this and it's kind of that, and sometimes it gets classified by Amazon as horror, and it's not exactly horror, but there's some scary parts to it, and there's mystery in it, and sometimes it's kind of romantic. Got some romance in there and love and but anyway, sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
Well, no,
it's,
you know, it does. It does. Actually, I will say, you know, I'm not, by no means am I, you know, I like to classify myself as pretty masculine. And so I would not be like one of these real, you know, like sensitive guys that are always crying and blah, blah, blah. And there are guys that, you know, that they get choked up. I get choked up on things, and I don't necessarily cry, but I start to get choked up and clear my throat. You know, you can always tell guys in a Yeah, you know, like when it comes. Yeah, exactly. That's me. However,
I think I just did that.
Uh-huh. However, props to you. You were one of the first people that made me literally just cry my head off, and I was sitting, you know, I was reading a couple of different parts, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't take any more of this. You know, I was like, this is too intense because it really, so, you know, that's
that is just, honestly, that is just the best compliment. It just is, And it that touches me deeply. That's awesome.
Well, it's
that's
true.
Awesome. And to be honest, there's parts where I will re, you know, because it's not that I don't remember. You do the book. It's an amazing thing. You write the book, you send it out there, and then you're on to the next one. So, but every, you know, we do return to them and read them again. And I get to certain parts, especially in that first book, and you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I do the same thing. I just start crying. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is very strange. I've written this book, and now I'm crying at my own words. But, gosh, this is bad, you know. Or, gosh, this is, you know, whatever. Yeah.
But, you know, what would be – I mean, it's just – we never know if there are elements of truth to this book that we're not aware of, but we're open spiritually, and we pick up on things.
Yeah.
And that being said, there's spiritual elements to this book, like – good versus evil, and just some really kind of cool things. That being said, where are you, if you don't mind me asking, do you have a spiritual path that you follow or what you believe?
I would say that, you know, I have nothing organized, but definitely I have some very spiritual. And I think, too, that if you're reading an author, and especially like a lot of their books, you can pretty much figure out where they are, because it's hard as an author to hide yourself. So, you know, not that I am like Abby Craig, but I do believe in good versus evil. And I do have that sense that there is a darkness out there and light.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, will often battle it. And most of the time so far, light wins out, you know,
absolutely.
And you know, that we live in this world and the other world, too, and there's just, like, you know, negative things, and it's best to try not to focus on them, focus on the positive things so you don't see them. But so I think you could probably pick out, you know, my belief system in there is evident in the book. So, yeah, definitely. I consider myself very spiritual in that regard.
That's awesome.
Which is why I write this in this subject matter.
Now, I also understand, is it true that you're an avid soccer fan?
Yes. Yes, it is true. Go Barcelona. And again, that's in the book, as you know, Joey. But, avid Barca fan and Argentina fan. The World Cup coming up this summer, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. So.
But you don't speak Spanish.
So, like Abby Craig. No, I don't speak Spanish. I don't. My husband is Argentine.
Oh.
And
is Argentine.
Mr. Jules is from Argentina, and my kids speak Spanish, and I do not. I've got English down, so that's good.
You know, it's funny. It's funny. I speak Spanish fluently, and a lot of times people don't necessarily think I speak Spanish. So
yes.
So it's quite amazing some of the situations I got myself into, or, you know, when people have said things, and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And then I'll go, blah, 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 and they're like, oh, my God, you speak Spanish? And I'm like, no, that was some other language. Come on now. You obviously understood it. Yes,
that's right. You never know. You never know who, you know. That's very – well, your family or your relatives are from Spain, and then they went to Hawaii, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, my grandparents my maternal grandparents came over, immigrated from Spain to the Hawaiian Islands. So, that's the way it goes. And then they moved – to California. So,
Were you taught Spanish when you were young?
By my grandmother,
who
lived with us. And so, and for years, I thought the grocery store Safeway was spelled incorrectly because according to my grandmother and aunt, they never called it Safeway. They would always say in Spanish, vamos means we're going. Vamos a Faceway. So for years, I thought Safeway was Faceway. And then I found out, I was like, oh, that's spelled incorrectly. It should be F-A-C-E-W-A-Y. Yeah. Faceway. But anyway.
That's
right.
That's
listen.
That's the key.
Yeah. So listen, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And, you know, I know time has just gone. We're at almost nearly, 40 minutes.
It just flew. It's so fun, Joey. It really was.
But I want you please let people know if they want to get a copy of this first book and then move towards a series, how can they do that? Let me know right now.
It's so easy. It's amazingly easy. You just go to Amazon. You could go to Barnes & Noble. You could go to Apple. 44, it's an easy name to remember, and it's Jewel Sinclair, and you just go ahead and download it. If you don't have a Kindle or an iPad, no problem. You can either download it on your phone or download it on your computer and read it there. And if you're really like old school and you love the smell of books in your hand, there's a solution. You're going to have to pay a little bit. You're going to have to buy the paperback, but you can go ahead and buy it too if you want. Which I completely understand. So,
and how do they buy the paperback?
Oh, you just get it on Amazon. You have a choice. You could get, the ebook edition, or you could get the paperback edition. But the paperback's like $7.99 or something. I personally love, as you could probably guess, love the ebook. So that's for free. So if you just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and go ahead and download it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's, really, quite honestly, that's really the way to go now. I really fought this tooth and nail with when I first saw the
so many people say that. Yeah, so many people do. They're like, I love the smell of books. I didn't fight it, but I've been a reader my whole life, and it's like this computer screen, what is this? Change is always hard. And now, and you probably feel the same way, the hardbacks and the paperbacks just drive me insane when I can't get an ebook. I almost like, really?
Well, I mean, it's the technology now. But interestingly, the first time I ever saw it, I was on a plane going somewhere. I can't remember where. And this guy was sitting right across from me on the other aisle, and he had this thing in his hand that looked like, it looked like a day timer. And he opened it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the screen, and then he started like touching it like they were pages of a book, like he was turning the pages. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking to myself, are you delusional, sir? That's not a book. It's a computer screen. And then I kept looking over and thinking, oh my God, I'm delusional. This guy really has something that's really, yeah, it's really quite interesting.
It's me.
And I thought, wow, what is that? So then I asked him later, I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but what was that you were using that you were reading stuff? And he said, oh, that's a Kindle. And I said, is that the name of it? And he said, yeah. And so I thought, oh, that's interesting. So then that's how I really, that was the first time that I ever, it was presented to me or I saw it.
Right.
And then from that point forward, then I got my iPad and then I saw, the books thing there. So then I started downloading books there. And at first it's kind of a little bit, you kind of feel like, God, I hope nobody's watching me doing this because it does seem kind of ridiculous, because it's like, come on. It's like going to your TV screen at home and touching the screen and going ding, 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 It's kind of weird, and it's something that we're not accustomed to. But you know what? It's like old hat to me now. I would rather do this because you can read quicker. You can get more books. They don't clutter your house or apartment or anything. They clutter your computer.
On the plane, you know? Yes.
Right. They clutter your computer, but they don't clutter your house.
No, it's true. And you can store it. You can store it over on Amazon. You don't have to take everything. You don't have to put all the books you have into your Kindle.
Right.
I mean, you can play with it. It's amazing.
Right.
It's like thousands of books go in that little device. Phenomenal.
So, yeah, it is phenomenal. So, you know, all right, I just want to say to everybody, all right now, you know. You have to go get Jules Sinclair's book, all right, the 44 series. You need to do that. And we want to thank you so much, Jules.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Joey and friends.
It's been wonderful. And we're going to stay in touch. And I'm so glad that the universe allowed us to meet and to bring you on. Because really, it's quite magical how this whole thing occurred and happened. And I am of the belief system that things happen for a reason. It's not by happen circumstance. You know, things happen for a reason. It's not just circumstance. You know, some people go, that's just life. You know, things, you know, no, I think there's a bigger picture that we don't necessarily see, and that's why people cross our paths. That's why probably tonight there are listeners out there that have turned to this, heard this, downloaded this, and said, "Oh wow, you know that sounds really interesting. I need to find out how I can get my copy of Jules Sinclair series 44." So again, thank you, Jules, for being with us. Hold tight. And then again, I want you to let people know before I forget, if they want to contact you via Twitter, Facebook, your own.
You can just type my name into Jules Sinclair, and my blog and my website will come up, and that's probably the easiest way. And I am, you could also, if you want to write me, julesinclair@msn.com. But I'm pretty easy to find. You can go on Amazon. I have my blog on there too. So
awesome.
I'm available.
Awesome. And that's a great blog, by the way, because I've seen it. It's just awesome. It really does.
Capture
what you're doing. And I know the 44 series will continue on. So again, folks, you really need to start with number one. So Jules, I want to thank you once again for joining us.
Thank
you. Folks, I think again, it's really just go out and get that book, please. Just make it and make number one the beginning of a really great journey of this series. And again, if you want to reach Jules, you want to read her blog, Twitter, all that kind of stuff, you want to connect, go on, like she said, go on Google, type in her name, Jules Sinclair, J-O-O-L-S Sinclair, S-I-N-C-L-A-I-R. And it will lead you, it will bring up all of her contact information. Coming up next week for us, be sure you join us for Destiny Rambo McGuire, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. Her new album, she will be, that's already been released, and we will have her on and talking about her new album and songs, all that kind of stuff. So all the way from Nashville will be Destiny McGuire Rambo. So you want to make certain and sure that you listen in to that as well. If you have any friends and family and pals that are great, they love books and they're great fans of series and thrillers, make sure you send them back to our show here with Jules Sinclair, the 44 series, okay? And so stay tuned. We have some really great shows coming up. As you know, we have quite a few shows coming up in the months ahead. And some of those will be Matt Baker, who is a voice of Animal Planet. Gosh, he's the Weather Channel, blah, blah, blah. He's going to be with us on February 10th. Let me see. I think that's right. Is that right? That's right. He is going to be with us on February 10th. And then, I'm sorry, Destiny will be with us on the 17th. And then Eddie Shapiro will be with us on the 14th. So 14th, Eddie Shapiro, Destiny Rambo on the 17th. Chippy Hedren, you know her from the Birds. And Chippy's from the Birds. She's Melanie Griffith's mom and blah, 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 et cetera. Melanie and Antonio Banderas. She will be with us on the 24th, excuse me. We're doing the Lectio Divina with Shaw and Pastor Phil, and that will be on February 28th. And then March 3rd, we